بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
In our series on عمدة الأحكام, we're still studying the chapters that deal with the prescribed punishments. So we went through the killing, what to do. And then we went through the punishment on fornication. Now we have another hadith that deals with something that is prescribed, but it is not quite known to a lot of us. And this is hadith number 351. And who will read that? Yes.
Narrated by Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if someone is peeping into your house secretly without your permission and you threw a stone at him and poked his eye, there is no blame on you.
So this is a prescribed punishment. What is the prescribed punishment? There is no warning. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is telling us that there is no warning. This is not trying to prevent an assailant from his crime. You remember a few lessons ago, we talked about if someone wants to attack your house. The minute he climbs on the fence, you don't shoot him between the eyes. You warn him. If he comes, you shoot in the air and tell him, I'm going to shoot you. If he still comes, you shoot him in the leg. So you try your level best to reduce the harm as much as possible. In here, the Prophet did not, عليه الصلاة والسلام, say anything of such, which means that this is not preventing an assailant from attacking. This is a punishment. Anyone peeping into your house trying to see what's inside, his punishment, if you have a stick, put it in his eyes or stone him or do something that does not kill him. But poking his eyes is a legitimate punishment done by the Prophet ﷺ. And this shows us how sacred houses are. And that is why in Islam, there is what is known as al-isti'dhan. Isti'dhan means to seek permission. And you seek permission before entering a room or a house three times by saying Assalamu alaikum and wait for an answer. Alaikum assalam, come in. Or you say Assalamu alaikum, a'adkhul, shall I come in? Three times. If no one answers you, you leave. And the Prophet was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, also, do I seek permission when I want to enter my mother's room, who is extremely old? What did the Prophet say, alayhi salam? He said, do you like to see your mother naked? I said, no. And then he said, you have to seek permission, because the permission is sought after for the reason of looking. And why do I say, can I come in? So that you do not see something that I don't want you to look at. And that is why this great punishment is equivalent to the great sin of someone spying and snooping and trying to look from the curtains or from the holes of the house so that he could see something. And this is an illness, this is a disease. It's quite common in quote-unquote civilized world, where you find people with cameras or with binoculars looking at people's houses and spending 6-7 hours. What are you waiting for? I just may see something that people don't want me to see. And likewise, spying, when you put, nowadays with technology, you put cameras that are so small, so tiny, in living rooms and bedrooms, and you record things and you snoop around in people's life. This is all major sins, not minor, major sins, that allows a person to harm that person by poking his eye. And there is nothing wrong, no diya, no blood money. If you do this to someone who peeps into your house, there is no diya, there's no compensation. You have not done anything wrong. This, of course, is according to the Islamic law. Now, can you do this in a place that does not apply Islamic law? Unfortunately not. They will put you in jail and maybe give you life and accuse you of being a terrorist. Because there, they don't have anything as nudity or haram or aib or things to be concealed. Everything is open. It's okay. If you don't see it in the house, you'd see it on the internet. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from all of this. Now, moving on to hadith 352, we now study the hadiths related to the prescribed punishment for stealing. So, hadith 352.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
narrated Ibn Umar, the Prophet ﷺ cut off the hand of a thief for stealing a shield that was worth 3 dirhams.
Okay, this hadith is telling us about a case that took place at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. A man stole a shield that was worth 3 dirham. The following hadith, hadith number 353, who will read that for us? Okay.
Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hand should be cut off for stealing a quarter of a dinar or more.
So now it is quarter of a dinar. And in the previous hadith, the price or the cost of the shield was 3 dirham. And scholars say that 3 dirhams are equivalent to a quarter of a dinar, because a dinar is equivalent to 12 dirhams. And this is what they call nisab. What is the nisab? It is the minimal amount or limit. We use the word nisab in zakat, for example. So the minimal amount of zakat in gold, the nisab is 85 grams. If you have 80 grams, this is below the nisab, which means that you do not qualify for zakat. In stealing, there are a number of conditions to be applied. And one of them is nisab. So if someone steals something that is below that, is there any prescribed punishment? Is there any had? The answer is no. If someone steals a loaf of bread, which is nothing, so do we cut his hand off? The answer is no. So there is what is known as nisab for stealing. And there are conditions that must be fulfilled so that we can apply this prescribed punishment. And among the condition is that there should not be any ambiguity. So if a man steals from his wife's possession, believing that this is his, or a boy or a man steals from his father, or the father steals from his son, or a man steals from the wallet that was used for poor, and he's poor, so he takes from it. An amount of money is allocated for charity and for the poor, and a poor man comes and steals from it. We don't chop his hand because he has right in that money, and so on. Among the conditions of stealing is that it has to be in secrecy. So if there is money found, and someone in broad daylight, while everybody is looking, he takes it and leaves, there is no cutting of the hand. If someone does not steal, but embezzles, he works in a company and every now and then he transfers money to his bank account. A little bit, a little bit. This is not stealing, because he did not do this as the conditions are supposed to be done in secret, and it should be from a safe or from a place that it is kept. So if someone has money, but he has it in his backyard, and someone comes and takes it, this is not stealing. If someone is walking and dropped his wallet, I came and took his wallet and left, this is not stealing. Not that it is halal, meaning that it is not stealing that I can demand cutting the hand. And it has to be in a place where it is kept and preserved in that suits it. So for example, where do we usually safeguard sheep? In a barn, in a fenced barn. So if someone has a sheep in his house and someone steals it, this is not a proper place to keep a sheep, or has it in the back of his car and someone opens the door, and this is not stealing. Where do we keep gold and silver? We keep it usually in a safe. If someone has it in the refrigerator and a thief comes in and finds it and takes it from the refrigerator, it's not a suitable thing to do. Likewise, if someone who is powerful and with authority goes and takes a piece of land, this is not considered to be stealing, because stealing has to be in the middle of the night. It has to be trying to go to places that people are not aware of. It has to be in secret. So all of these conditions, which are very hard to implement, only can result, if fulfilled, in the amputation of a man's hand. And the first time a person steals, as mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, if a man or a woman steal, their punishment is to amputate their hand. What is meant by hand? The whole arm, from the shoulder, from the elbow? No, hand is this place, to the wrist. And that is why in the ayah of al-wudu, of ablution, wash your faces and hands till the elbows. So now we know that this is not enough. You have to wash the hand till the elbow. And if he steals another time after cutting his right hand, we chop off his left foot. If he steals for the third time, we chop off his left hand. And if he steals for the fourth time, we chop off his other foot. So now he has no feet and no hands. If he steals for the fifth time, this is for the judge to decide whether to flog him, to jail him. But someone who is in such case, yani he is definitely bad news. So may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from such things. Moving on to hadith number 354. It deals with stealing as well, but in a different point of view. We will take this hadith after the break, so stay tuned.